The sermon this morning has to do with looking backwards and looking forward. And so before we to the sermon, I'd like to have just a few moments to invite you to share anything about yesterday's event. Stay away from critiquing the sauces or anything like that for the ice cream. But the old event or the hemp saying, what were the things you notice? Have the mic. If anybody has anything to say, please do so.
I was really impressed. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what it was. In fact, I had to call Angie and ask her what. It was very pleasant. It just very remarkable, and I enjoyed it very much.
Good.
I was going to do this later, but I want to say a big thank you to everybody who did everything for this, from, planning and leading to the ice cream and cleanup, and thank you all.
Filming, what about the video? John was the video guy.
Like Lisa, I was gonna say this later too. We live streamed last night, and there's of course Facebook records it as well, and the recording is available for 30 days. If y'all haven't heard yourselves, it sounds, at least in the video, it sounds like a much larger group than we were. I mean, when you're in the act of singing it, what do you hear fully? But when you hear in the video, good golly, it is really good. The church's Facebook page, and I'm going to, before the video gets deleted by Facebook, 30 days, I'm going to download it, and we don't have a YouTube page, but we will, and I'm going to upload it to that, and then that way Don can link to it on the website as well, so you don't have to upload the video because that's a lot of space. I seriously recommend that, if you didn't have a good enough experience last night, go listen to yourselves because it's amazing. It sounds like a far larger group than just the 60 something of us that there were. So, and also, as Lisa said, thank you to everybody, to Don and the Schenck boys for leading us.
Thank man.
They were and just an amazing group. And if anybody missed Don's humor, you're you're too young.
I thought it was wonderful, and I just want to say that last night I was thinking I'd like to suggest that we do this semi-annually. We just set it up that every April and every August or whatever, that we have a hymn sing and everybody knows it's coming.
There you go. The
I
E
have to
months.
agree, it was beautiful. It was like when we first came here and we would have singing, you'd have 300 people in our congregation,
Yeah.
and it was just absolutely beautiful to hear the different voices.
Yeah.
Thank you for organizing it.
I'm not going to say much because I can't talk really well, but I have three things I want to say. The first is I felt like I was 14 again, 60 years ago. And the second thing is, I guess I saw people I haven't seen for years and years. And thirdly, the ice cream was terrific.
Any other thoughts? One of the things that I knew one of the visitors from First Mennonite Richmond, Rachel, but I don't know what her name is, but she came with two friends, Leon and Sydney. And anyway, I spoke with Sydney afterwards, and she said, I've never sung out of a hymnal before, because she's used to throw up stuff, you know, up on the screen all the time. That's what we called it when it started. We called it throw up stuff. So anyway, so that was interesting to me. But the thing that really struck me most was it was almost instantly a competition. In other words, who can say, shout it out the most quickly, what they want, you know? And so, you know, I just was, you know, okay, that's for the next guy, and, you know, Micah's coming, so you catch it, Micah, and go. So I thought it was a very graceful transition between people. And I can feel slammed by the request for short prayer. I knew that that came from a good place, but anyway, yeah, so it was a delight for me as well. And today, I'm talking about identity, how we construct a narrative, and so forth. And in popular culture, we hear my son's graduation from fifth grade, which I didn't know was a thing, but he had his fifth grade graduation there. Actually, a statement for each kid about their plans for the future were. It's like, kinds of things that they said, but the one that struck me the most in the strangest way was a little guy saying he wants to grow up to be an influencer. Wow. I was struck years ago the first time I heard somebody on the radio talk about I guess, for somebody who was, if you want to work on your digital journey, presence advisor. And so I'm very used to, even though we call them selfies and place and don't see the thing in the background because the face of a person is so much in the foreground, to a curated image of ourselves. So, for instance, one example from discussions we had at Mission Network, it came from somebody with a mission to East Africa, and this person, a couple of weeks, and the statement then was that this experience has changed my digital profile forever. It didn't change her identity forever, but it did change how she present herself forever. That's a different kind of understanding of identity than I'm used to. But it's definitely a part of culture right now. These three passages that we read have certain things in common. The first passage from identity, from Deuteronomy, is that is situated once they come into the promised land, and they found that it was to a place that was desert, that didn't have food, that didn't have crops to harvest or anything like that. They came into a place that was plentiful, and the Lord told them that to this place, you gather the bounty and you bring it to the religious authorities, the religious leaders, as an offering and sacrifice. And so they took those things and they took them before the leaders, and then they said that successor. We went down to Texas, then we moved to Colorado, then we moved to Kitchener, Ontario, and they don't use quite the same language, sort of Canadian British system. They called us resident aliens. So I felt akin to these folks because and this context we talk about and so forth. But they talk about these strangers, these foreigners, and the last part of it is they were referred to as foreigners. But the thing that's striking is what comes after this. It says, down to Egypt, so they themselves, few numbers, when the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard things, we cried to the Lord, the Lord of ancestors, Lord, hold our voice and solve our affliction, our toil, our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm with a terrifying display of power. And so, first fruits of the ground that you given us, you shall, in the instruction that you shall sit down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then God with the fruits and the who reside among the strangers, so foreigners that have migrated them now into this world. So the thing that jumps out to me is seventh generation, and it's repeated a couple of different places, is that the people of Israel this promised land has come from God. They inclusive in that worship context that benefits from the wealth of the land. So it's not just, it's not we this is an thing and we keep it for ourselves. No, it's for the leaders, the strangers, the widows, the orphans, all these people to be provided for through our offerings. So the piece that it takes place in the context of worship, it rehearses history. So Jacob is called and goes into Egypt. They become a nation, they get enslaved, and delivers them. So it's through their lives, but it says God is the this captivity, this slavery, and into this land. In the second passage, it's also in the context of worship. And it's also in the context of God providing for us. Your kingdom is of generations. The Lord is faithful in those words and gracious and wisdom. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up. So there's a shift there because the Lord is the Lord. It's not just the Lord of people, it's the Lord of all. Says those falling, the Lord holds them and raises up. So it says the provision of God to those from to Egypt. It's for who God is. God. He says and provides for all of them, satisfying their desires, so forth. The third reading comes from Acts chapter 10, last year I was reading speaking out of this section, but the context of it is follows Peter's experience on the rooftop and so on and so forth, and there's this tension of that's in this section, and so when Peter goes to his house, he finds out these people worshiping God, and he asks them. He first listens to them. He asks them, what's this all about? I've been called here. This is the situation for me. Here. And then he's here because Cornelius had this vision. And so then in the verses just prior, he said, for this way, 3 o'clock I was praying, and my house went suddenly. Dazzling posts before me. And so that's when Cornelius sends the people to go find Paul or Peter. And Peter goes with them because it's just his vision with the cynical and so forth. And he was there to find worshiping, gathered together to worship. And in context, he shares more particular than Jesus, his death, his ministry, talks about him doing and healing oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Since he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem, they put him to death by hanging on the tree, but God raised him up. So it's Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection, and then Peter is still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And then Peter responds to the intervention of the Holy Spirit and says they should be baptized, which is a sign of joining the family of God. And these are Gentiles, these are people outside of the people of Israel. So these pieces, the harmony of these things, is that take place within the context of worship. They're statements that are made in the context of worship, and they're statements that rehearse the history of the people of Israel. The people is Jesus. Now, I almost forgot about my little slide there. Eventually, I'm going to get to PowerPoints, but it may be in the next life. I don't know. But anyway, I should have warned you. South African in Ghana, you see the little symbol on the right there. Can you get that down further or not? Okay. It's kind of chopped off. But it's a bird that's facing this way, but his neck is turned back. Okay, you see it there? These, you see it a little better. So he's turned back, and there it's picking an egg up or something on this one on the left. But it says Sankofa is a symbol from the Kan people of Ghana that translates to go back and get it. It visually represented as a mythical bird looking face forward, or stylized heart-shape symbolizing the wisdom of learning from the past to shape the future. So these passages and these scriptures that we read is the same basic notion. Can you scroll further and see there? So a little translation, sorry. From the son, could and father, next he can take a Kan proverb. It is not taboo to go back and fetch what you forgot. Core philosophy emphasizes that reclaiming and understanding history and ancestry is essential for moving forward. So I've just been decided I'm going to make this two sermons. So I'm sort of stuck here in a sense, because we're going to pick it up tomorrow, Steve speaking next week, and talking about history and so forth. And the following week, it's going to be time. Finish this sermon, but the point that I'm trying to make is construct a narrative in this place as a group of people that come and worship together. We construct a narrative that, in a sense, shapes how we move to the future. And part of the thing that we have to deal with is, what do we do with our past? What do we say? These were mistakes that we've made. These were times, periods where we learned. And it's the places and the people that we feel called to be. And then how do we shape them into our new future? And part of the thing for me is to it's like the 22nd was the first week I started of August. And I feel like we're finally at a point where we're beginning to develop the momentum that isn't necessarily going to bring something like that. That's not the goal. But the goal is to, in a sense, take charge of our future. But we take charge of our future as we look at the past and as we move forward in making choices about what we carry and what we let go of. Because as I've said before, that part of the process of healing is that some of the past, we say, that have power to sense from the past, but at the same time, we're informed by the past. So I'll pick it up again in 2 weeks or three Sundays. And I think the title that I'm thinking, I know the title I'm thinking of, but it's something having to do with choosing kindness. And so that's a theme I'm going to be exploring in a couple of weeks. So I'll leave it at that.